This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
All right, we are back. Hour number three is upon us. Myself, Andy, Charlie, and our next guest, Gregory Wrightstone, is with us. Welcome back, Gregory. How are you?
Oh, really good. Busy. There's a lot to talk about with climate change.
Yes, there is.
I have no idea where you're going to go with this.
With everything that's happened the last week or so, and of course, the...
The bill from hell.
Yeah, the Inflation Reduction Act, which it's everything... But and for everybody listening, by the way, if you've not heard Greg before, he is a geologist and the executive director of the CO2 Coalition and best-selling author of Inconvenient Facts, the science that Al Gore doesn't want you to know. Been on with us many, many times. So you know, honestly, I didn't have an agenda, Gregory. I just figured with everything that's gone on this week, the this bill that will most likely become law by the end of the week, which will just add to inflation and really hurt us economically because the thing that they've got in here for quote-unquote green energy, which I always hate using that term because it's everything but green, this is a disaster bill is what it is.
Yeah, it is. And what I did, I looked at this, and according to the proponents of this bill and Joe Biden, that according to them, this bill will reduce our carbon dioxide emissions by 40% by the year 2030. Okay, and I'm a scientist. And so what I did, I went back, I said, well, how much warming of the atmosphere will be averted by a 40% reduction of America's CO2 emissions? So I went back and I used the what's called the magic simulator, and it's the model for the assessment of greenhouse gas induced. It's using NOAA and IPCC data, and I went back and plugged it in, 40% reduction for the United States. And are you ready? Are you sitting down?
Yep.
We're going to avert. Yeah, I mean, okay, CO2 is increasing. CO2 is a greenhouse gas. It has a warming effect on the atmosphere. It just does. But it's greatly exaggerated by those proponents of catastrophic warming.
Right.
So I went back and plugged all the data into the magic simulator, and the amount of warming that would be averted by the year 2050, I know it's going to be a shock, 0.02 degrees Celsius by the year 2050.
How do you measure that?
You can't even, it's below.
Guys, if I may, no, wait. John, you asked, how do you measure that? You measure that in donations that will come from these green energy companies.
Yeah.
No, serious.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Hundreds of billions of dollars is going to be redirected
you're
to
right.
green energy, and donations are going to be flooding from them to the Democrat
Good
Party
point.
As a result. That's
Good
how
point.
You measure
oh,
it. Am
correct.
I right, Greg?
Exactly. Well, you may well be right about that, but you guys provide the political commentary. I provide the science.
I'll do the science politics.
So what's that?
I'll do the politics.
We can handle the commentary. We don't do your job, nor do I want to.
No. We at the CO2 Coalition, we want to stay with the science and away from the politics, and we don't want to be arm-waving zealots. We're not. We want to prevent. We want to be the tip of the spear when it comes to presenting science.
Of course.
About this. And so when I look at this, and if you're any of your listeners, if they want to actually access the magic simulator, you can go to my I've got a cool free smartphone app. It's called Inconvenient Facts. It's got 60 of the charts that are great. Inconvenient Facts app. It's free. I'm not making any money on it. But if you click on Magic Simulator, you can estimate, okay, well, what if the United States reduced 100% of its emissions? What would that do? And you'll find it's incredible how the small, if we went to zero, if the United States, actually, we just shut down and the entire country shut down, we did had zero emissions, would have no effect. Carbon dioxide emissions in the atmosphere, emissions and atmospheric concentrations would continue to rise because
Greg,
China, India, Brazil, Russia are all increasing.
Right.
And they understand what they understand. President Xi, Prime Minister Modi in India, Bolsonaro in Brazil, Putin in Russia, they all understand. What do you need to have a vibrant economy? You need reliable, abundant, affordable energy, and you only get it with fossil fuels. Well, it's nuclear, kind of, but
right.
for the mice, but and we're committing economic suicide by these projections and what they're doing right now.
Hey, Greg, really quick here. Yes, we'll leave the rants to me, the political rants. That's my job. But when you say that it would only drop by that much, are you using their actual calculations or your actual
yes.
projections and calculations?
No.
And who are they? Who's the they?
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Okay, the IPCC.
And so these estimates, I've assumed, again, your listeners are going to, I don't want to have them tune out, but it's a climate sensitivity of 3.0. In other words, we'll get, if we double CO2, we'll get 3 degrees of centigrade warming from a doubling of CO2, which is more than three times what we, our experts at CO2 Coalition, we think it's more, it's less than 1 degree warming for every doubling of CO2. And so I've used three times what we believe. So it's an exaggerated amount of warming from CO2. And I assumed that we would get to 40% reduction immediately, which it won't occur until 2030 in Biden's plan. So it's more likely that the amount of warming that will be averted will be much, much less than even 1/100th of a degree Celsius by 2050. It's incredibly
So in other words, a lot to do about nothing, and we're going to spend a lot of money, have a lot of inflation, and have a lot of disappointment at the end of the day when this is all said and done.
Okay.
Well, Gregory, what about the fact that they're also wanting to shut down the cheap sources of electricity? Okay, nuclear and coal, these are the cheap ways to get, and natural gas, these are the cheap forms of getting electricity. They want us to use wind and solar, which are unbelievably expensive for the amount of BTUs created, and that's not in any way going to sustain what they want to do.
Yeah, well, actually, nuclear is not that inexpensive, and because of all the regulations, mainly because of all of the redundancies built in. France builds nuclear reactors pretty cheaply. We can do these small modular reactors that are okay. Actually, the coal is the cheapest form of natural gas electricity generation is natural gas.
Right.
And that's because we have
an abundance of it. That's right.
You have no idea. Let me explain. Do we have a few minutes? I can explain.
No, go ahead. We're on your time frame. So whatever, Greg, go ahead.
Okay. If you have somebody tell you they're an expert on something, probably you want to just turn it off. But I am an expert on this natural gas phenomenon, especially. I was the co-author of the first peer-reviewed comprehensive paper on the Marcellus Shale of the Appalachian Basin. We researched that during that time. We looked at, this is just one shale resource in the Appalachian Basin. We looked at it at that time, and in 2008 we looked at the 10 largest natural gas fields in the world, and the gas in place of those 10 didn't even equal what the Marcellus was.
Wow.
Think about that.
Do
you get an idea how big this thing is?
Wow.
It's incredibly, and that's just one. It's in 2008, I coined a new term. It was called a mega giant field. Hmm. A giant gas field is 3 TCF, trillion cubic feet. Supergiants, 30 TCF, And I coined this new term, mega giant, to describe anything as 300 TCF or more. Wow. There are only four of these gas fields in the world, three of them in the United States, two of them in the eastern United States in the Appalachian Basin. And we've got a third that's a super giant that no one's ever heard of. And all of these, all this enormous, absolutely incredibly enormous natural gas reserves, we can't get the gas out because all these pipelines are being shut down by permitting problems and mainly lawsuits from environmental companies. They're being shut down.
What a waste. Unreal. Literally, what a waste. I mean, that. And correct me if I'm wrong. Again, we're talking to Gregory Wrightstone, and he's with us on a regular basis. Best-selling author, Inconvenient Facts of Science at Al Gore doesn't want you know. He's also the executive director of the CO2 Coalition. Gregory, as countries go, and we look at the debt now that this country has, $30-plus trillion dollars and growing every second that you and I are talking, literally every second it continues to grow, are not the natural resources we have that we're able to withdraw from the earth and then tax and get money back in as a government. I'm not talking about the oil companies that make money off this. I'm talking about us as a government, you know, us, because we are the government. We, the citizens, are. We're the ones that are the net gainers of this windfall that we have sitting there. Would we not benefit from selling those off and making money as a country?
Well, of course we would, but they've got this perverted notion that carbon dioxide is the demon molecule.
Right?
Right, exactly. And we need to, I get so, I'm sure you do too, I get so frustrated. Listen, all we hear is this mantra of climate crisis, climate emergency. We need to, everything right. climate. And no, what we find is that what we see is the modest warming that we've seen. We've increased 0.8 of a degree since 1900. We see that increase between noon and 2 p.m.
Right.
every day.
Right.
All right?
Right.
All right? But we've increased that. That modest increase combined with increasing CO2 is leading to the Earth's ecosystems are thriving and prospering, vegetation's exploding,
right.
humanity's benefiting from crop growth. The warming temperatures means we have longer growing seasons.
That's right.
And we just completed a video of, even in the warm countries like India, we just completed our research associate there, Vijay Jayaraj, completed a new video on India and agriculture.
Is that online? Is it available?
It's on. Actually, I have a couple. I just got it a couple days ago. We have some edits to make. You can go to Inconvenient Facts YouTube page to
okay.
see it.
Okay. Well, I want to leave you with one thing that I would love to get an answer on, and I figured I was waiting for you to come on the next time to ask you this as a car guy, because you said a moment ago, anytime somebody says they're an expert, you know, run away. Well, I am a car expert. I don't say that very often, but I've been in the industry my entire life. But the one thing, Greg, that always bothers me, and I've yet to see any solid data on this. You always talk, you know, you always hear, even in this bill we just talked about, that's not going to become law. You know, everybody, you know, there's this shift and encouragement and subsidies to go EV and so on and so forth. And you and I have talked before. I own one just so I can learn more about it, all the ins and outs and so on. But I've yet to see any actual data on the difference in oil consumption in a ICE vehicle versus an EV. There's a Sierra Club article that talks about a study that was done by a university, and there's this number floating around where, you know, an ICE vehicle takes 300 barrels of oil to make, and an EV is 200 barrels. The problem with that study is that's from the factory floor only. It has nothing to do with the battery, the making of, the amount of oil that goes into the, you know, the making of that battery. And what I mean by that is the machinery it takes to do the mining. You know where I'm going with this. The reality is. I have not seen any actual factual data on the differences in the amount of oil it takes to produce an ICE vehicle versus an EV vehicle. And what I mean by that is I also want the data on the infrastructure behind the EV versus the ICE vehicle through its lifetime. I want to see those numbers. I don't think they exist. I don't think anybody's ever done it because they're afraid of what the outcome is.
I'm afraid you're right, and I can't help you because I don't know. I'm a simple geologist. I know a lot about a lot of things, but I don't know a lot about that. But I suspect you're right. I suspect that I mean, what they talk about when they talk about renewable energies, they don't talk about the what's called the levelized cost of energy.
That's right.
And they don't look at the entire life cycle.
Nope.
Usually we look at 50-year life cycle. Well, these wind turbines and solar panels only last 20 to 25 years, probably
right.
less.
That's right.
They're in a 50-year life cycle. You have to plan on, okay, you've created the first wind turbine, but you're going to have to replace it in 20 years. Well, they don't calculate that. And they don't calculate the cost of all the rare earths and everything else that's going into
it. That's right.
And so, we have to look at this. Your listeners are being sold a bill of goods on this.
Right.
And they're being lied to on a daily basis about climate change.
Yep.
And
I agree.
And it's just, it's my mission in life. It's my mission to expose the fallacies of climate alarmism.
Well, we're here with you. As you know, you're welcome anytime. We have you on a ton. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for your time. I know we went a little long, but I appreciate it. It's always good info.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks. We appreciate it very much. And that's Gregory Wrightstone again. It's the CO2 Coalition and Inconvenient Facts. There's a YouTube channel, by the way, of Inconvenient Facts. That's a book, and they've got a YouTube channel as well. We'll put some links up on the website later for that as well.